a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls strings. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lie. Even in this wealthy nation, it could come down to starvation in the twinkling of an eye. They tell us there will soon be peace, our lives will be an endless feast, but they lead us toward the dark. In the distance, sabers rattle, and the armies train for battle as the beast prepares his mark. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string and makes his little puppets dance to any song he sings. As the night rolls in on the rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I am Lori Anderson, your host for this evening, and I am joined with Lori, Tom Lacovara's significant other and patriot. She is being with us this evening to give us updates on what is going on in Tom's case and situation. How are you doing this evening, Lori?
Fine, how are you?
Hanging in here. There's a lot of news going on today, and we definitely need to keep the people updated as to what is going on with Tom so they can know how to help. What is the new situation with Tom?
Basically, I have very basic information. He called me this morning, and they have transferred him. Most likely, it'll take a couple of days for them to get him out to Oregon. So he has been transferred from the Philadelphia Federal Detention Center to, now I don't know where he's going to be taken to. Hopefully he'll be in Oregon soon. But that's really mostly what I know to date, what's going on.
Okay, so we definitely need to update the individuals who have been listening to our calls to call out to the Federal Detention Center in Pennsylvania. Tom Lacovara is no longer there at that detention center right now.
Philadelphia, yes.
Excuse me, yes, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And so what we need to do is we need to place a hold on those calls. And right now Tom is in transit. We do not know when he is going to actually arrive in Oregon, nor do we know the exact location, but we were sure to keep you up to date on that. If you want to help Tom and Lori to be able to have the funds to hire a constitutional attorney, as well as, you know, help on the books for the necessities that Tom needs, you can donate by going to PayPal, and you can go tomlacovara@gmail.com, or you can also go to resurrecttherepublic.com and click on that PayPal button. Tom and Lori have always stood up for individuals' rights, and it is time for us to stand by them in a much-needed way right now. As anybody knows, the people who were involved in either covering the Oregon protest or being involved with the protest at all, or being involved with the Bundy Ranch protest and standoff, have all been picked off one by one for the most part all across this union, and are being targeted to be silenced. Would you agree with that statement, Lori?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, from what I've heard, they're having a really tough time out in Nevada as well, with a lot of tyranny going on in that situation, in the courts, what's going on there too. Hopefully soon we'll be able to have Carol Bundy on the show, and she can give us some updates as to what's going on with that too. So please, everybody, if you would, remember, every dollar counts. Even if you only donate a dollar, every dollar counts, please. Tom does not normally ask for donations. The sponsors of the network that are covered through the commercials, they go to the network, and we are very thankful for the network. However, it does not go to individually help Resurrect the Republic or Tom and Lori themselves, and they need your help. And I know that if it was you or I, that they would stand and help us, and it's time for us to step up for them. Is there anything else that you would like to do you know if before they transferred him, did they ever get him his medications that he needed?
No, they did not.
They did not
get his medications at all. And I do want to say thank you to those that have helped. It has helped greatly where we can communicate. And I can get a few things done. As you know, I'm still stuck up here in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So trying to still work on that as well. It's a little rough up here. So,
right. And a lot of people also need to
really thank you.
Yes, that those donations, they need to understand this too. For those of you who have never had to go through this, just simply for paying for prisoners to be able to call home is not cheap. It is expensive. And things such as that, for them to be able to keep a line of communication open with us so that we know what is going on, is imperative with all of our patriots. And that is just one of the things that is needed.
Yeah. People really, I don't know what's going on with people out there, but there's all kinds of stuff going on. And all I can say is, you know, Thomas is a good man. He went out to help in Oregon. I don't know a lot of stuff that went on in Oregon, but what's going on now is just, it's craziness. It's absolutely craziness. So,
right. And
yeah. Go ahead. You still a little boy?
Yes. We get tired of the individuals. You know, they want to pick and choose on how you're a patriot. They want to pick and choose and say, well, you know, this is unconstitutional. Oh, but, you know, I don't like that person, so I'm not going to say anything about that. What Tom is being charged with is completely unconstitutional, and it's under the Commerce Clause. And when you read into 922, Title 18 and 922, and you realize it is all about the Commerce Clause, and never once was he engaged in any kind of commerce. Never once was he was it alleged that he had done anything that was violent towards another person. It's clearly obvious that he did not do anything that was violent toward another person. Otherwise, way back in January when they alleged that this happened, they would have arrested him right then.
No.
So it wouldn't have been a citation. This is a state issue, not a federal issue. And I really hope and pray that the attorney that he has right now, although I'm not going to hold my breath, the attorney right now that is representing him will at least acknowledge that and bring that out. Because if they're doing it under commerce, which, of course, you know, when you read the headings, then you have to also acknowledge that they didn't have subject matter jurisdiction in the first place. And, you know, that's the situation in that case. Is there anything else you would like to say, Lori, before we get to covering the massive news that is going on today? Today is truly, truly a day that will go down in history as just a – today is a historical day. That's right. In massive amounts and different reasons, but we'll cover that in a little bit.
I think we need to get to the news and get things going, and hopefully everybody's been updated on what's Thomas's latest events, and go from there, and I'll let you know if anything else changes.
All righty. Well, thank you very much, Lori, for letting us know, and we look forward to having you back on. Keep us updated for sure. Tell Tom that we love him, we support him, and we are going to, as soon as we find out where he is at, we'll be reaching out in that area as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So what I wanted to talk to you all about today and let you know, today is truly a day for the history books. The information that I am going to share with you, of course, antique mainstream media will not. Some of them did, but not many. And what I want to share, first of all, is I don't know if you remember this gentleman, but there was a United States Marine, Dr. Lindsay, made headlines earlier this year when he burned his Republican registration. He was calling out the GOP for their corruption and 100% supporting Trump. Sadly, this Marine, this American patriot, Dr. Larry Lindsay, he recorded a video message just shortly before he passed away. Mr. Lindsay passed away on December the 17th in the arms of his wife, Natasha. He passed away peacefully at 10:45 p.m. on his birthday. So if we could, Mike, may we please share and spread his last message, his message that he sent to Donald Trump, Vice President Pence, and to Mad Dog Mattis, as well as every other American citizen. Please, if you would, play LV4.
President Trump, Vice President Pence, and General Mattis, I would like to say that the greatest honor of my life has been to wage this battle with you. I have been prouder of being a Marine than anything I have ever done in my life. Having a hand in some small way in fighting for my country has meant the world to me. There is no greater honor for me to have great men like you leading this country back to its foundation and back to God. President Trump, I have no doubt in my heart and in my mind that you will be perhaps the greatest president in the history of our country. Vice President Pence, I am so honored to call you my vice president. You're an incredibly good man and probably the only vice president in 150 years to have any brains. And I appreciate that about you. Your candor and your honesty from both of you men is much needed in this day and time. General Mattis, sir, it appears that I am now out of ammunition, but I continue to fight with my last breath. I do not fear death because I know where I'm going, and I'm only going home for a rest. It's you people here, the good people of America, for whom I cry, my loved ones and my friends, and the sacrifices they must continue to make in this fight to restore our country. Dying is the easy part. Dying is the comforting part. If you know who your God is, and you know that he holds your hand, and I do, I praise God for a wonderful life. So many wonderful blessings that I have known, and so many wonderfully kind and loving people in this country whom I have met during my fight for this country. I want you to know, each and every one of you, that we have taken on a challenge that has only just begun. The real battle lies ahead. And General Mattis, I have one request, sir, and that is, give them hell. And Semper Fi. God bless.
Mike, if you would. A Marine who no doubt is now watching down from us from heaven and is still guarding the wall as a watchdog. Would you please, in respect and honor, pay tribute to this Marine who stayed loyal to his last breath?
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we fight our country's battles in the air, on land and sea. First to fight for right and freedom.
Semper Fidelis, Marine. Semper Fidelis. And thank you for your service. On that note, I will bring on the individual who are going to be on the show with us tonight. And we're going to be covering a lot of news this evening. Normally, we like to focus on educational topics. However, this news that I am sharing with you this evening, it is imperative that we cover this to make sure that you are well informed. Tonight, we're having on Keith Jones, as well as Eric Hughes-Jones of CourtroomObservers.com. How are you, gentlemen, this evening?
Fine, thanks.
That's good. That's good to hear. Today is truly a day of historical magnitude. It truly is. And I just want to let all of my listeners know, I am having a lot of technical difficulties with my computer system. So if, for whatever reason, it ends up where you cannot hear me, I will be back on. So I wanted to let you know that. So a lot of the information that is coming out today is huge in magnitude. Today is truly, in my opinion, larger than even 9/11, if you will. And I say that for a very good reason. As many of you know, there has been a fight between the corrupt government politicians backing the terrorists, the truthers, if you will, have been fighting against these lies that the ones that they are supporting are moderates. And we have been exposing for a very very long time the issue that the U.S. State Department and other entities continue to try to bash Russia as being the problem. So, on a massive scale, many things happened today in which could have averted and stopped not only a civil war, but also a world war. And I will explain in just a moment what I mean by that. So if you would, Mike, let's go ahead and play clip LV1 to give a little bit of a backdrop. We discussed a little bit of this earlier last week, that Aleppo has been liberated from those quote-unquote moderates, from those individuals who are supported, armed, and trained by not only the U.S. government, but they are backed by Turkey, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, the United Kingdom, and many other factions of the globalist regime that wish to take over a sovereign nation. Russia was invited in by Bashar al-Assad to help get rid of these individuals who are mass murdering terrorists. And that's exactly what they are. They behead children. They burn people alive. Innocent men, women, and children have suffered from this. And our media, the antique mainstream media, has covered for these lies, trying to project it off as Bashar al-Assad's fault, as Russia's fault, because they dare not go along with their citizens being terrorized. But they, of course, don't tell the truth about it, because then it doesn't go along with that agenda of trying to get Bashar al-Assad out of the presidency of that sovereign nation. Anyone who is involved with being inside of Syria without permission, which, of course, includes the United States of America, their quote-unquote troops, their factions of the terrorist organizations that they...
Well, I believe Lori said, well, Keith, why don't we do this? Why don't we, since you're the expert on the, why don't we just do this? Why don't we shift gears back and forth when Lori's in? She can report on the news, this breaking news out of Turkey with the Russian ambassador. I don't have all the details up in front of me, but if you can, just want to interject and fill in some time, Keith, and discuss once again the constitutional charter county and how people can take back their county, because ultimately, the way to solve a lot of these world problems is to pull the rug out from the New World Order and take back our immediate area called the county. Now, Keith, I was told by a gentleman who was in the service, and he seemed to be a pretty knowledgeable guy about the constitutional county. He said that you only need 4 square miles to start your own county. Is this true, Keith?
It's even actually less than that. Because you go back and study that all men were supposed to be given 160 acres of land. So if you got like 2 or 3 families together, you can actually start it with that.
Hang on one second. Keith, sounds like we're going to a break. We'll be back with the Resurrect Republic.
Okay.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting 2 people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is Lori Anderson, your host for this evening on Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I do apologize for that technical difficulty. I'm glad that I am able to be back with you now. As I was discussing before the break, Aleppo has been liberated, and we have more news that goes along with that. However, I want to cover that first, because we've been exposing for a very long time that the moderate rebels, or the Syrian rebels, are truly not Syrians. These individuals come out of, whether it be Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Qatar, you have United States backing the Syrian moderates, or they're the ones who are invading into Syria in order to overthrow President Assad, who is the lawful president over Syria. Russia is inside Syria helping President Bashar al-Assad protect the people and get the real terrorists out of that country. And Aleppo has been liberated, and we will cover that, and then we will cover the breaking news that happened today. Mike, if you would, please play LV1.
Hello, welcome to the debate. I'm Kavitat Wayu. While the evacuation of civilians has hit snags specifically from the terrorists, like targeting the buses, kidnapping the drivers, and setting them on fire, there's been a resolution that has been passed by the UN in which Russia agreed for UN staff to be deployed to eastern Aleppo for the evacuation of civilians and some of the so-called rebels or terrorists. In this edition of the debate, we'll discuss the operation and what the liberation means and how this has almost stifled the moves by the Western coalition on the regime change aspiration. Let's get more from Aleppo and what is going on there from a correspondent, Muhammad Ali, who joined us. Muhammad Ali, at this point, tell us of some of the evacuations taking place. And of course, I don't know if you have heard, perhaps you have, that the UN resolution that has been passed at this point, there's going to be additional staff that's going to be added from the UN to that area, eastern Aleppo.
Yes, that's right. Let me start by what happened since the early hours of this morning. The implementation of this Aleppo deal resumed significantly. We saw buses in El Ramous, tens of buses entering the eastern parts of Aleppo. They transported out hundreds of militants and their families. Of course, at the same time, there was in parallel evacuation of civilians in Kfaria and Fou'a for the first time since the deal was reached. Of course, previously, terrorists in Idlib countryside near Kfaria and Fou'a prevented those civilians, sick and injured civilians, from leaving, and this blocked for two times this Aleppo deal, evacuation deal. But this time today, the first batch exited over there. They went out. They were evacuated. The civilians, we met them as a Press TV team here on the ground. More than 500 people came out. However, the entire number of civilians, sick civilians who should be evacuated according to the deal, is around 4,000 people. And also there are still some militants and their families inside Aleppo. The process is ongoing as we speak on the ground here in El Ramuse, just about 2 kilometers from where I am standing now. We should have to wait and see what will happen in the morning, because all expectations is that if the deal continues to be implemented smoothly on the ground, the evacuation over here and in Aleppo, we could be hearing from the Syrian army an official statement on the liberation of the entire city of Aleppo, meaning that there will be no more militants in the entire city. And regarding the United Nations monitors to be sent over here to the city of Aleppo to monitor the evacuation process, perhaps when those 100 monitors arrive, maybe this evacuation would already be have ended. However, we have to wait and see what will happen, if this deal will be blocked again or not by the terrorists, violated, and or not, or will it continue to successfully be implemented. As I told you, tens of buses entered eastern Aleppo. Militants are getting out. Civilians are coming from Kfaria and Fou'a, and they are being given the Syrian government. The Syrian government is providing them with temporary shelter centers here in Jibreen and Aleppo. And as they were entering on the Ramusa Bridge, at the same time, we have to confirm that militants were exiting. So this is a very complicated deal. Let's hope it is a successful one. It is complicated because there are many sides involved, many countries, and many armed groups on the ground, definitely.
Thank you for that. Mohammed Ali, a correspondent there, talking to us from Aleppo. Let me introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate. Managing editor and columnist of Veterans Today, Jim Dean, joins us from Atlanta. And we have senior analyst at Foreign Policy and Focus, Ian Williams, who joins us from New York. Gentlemen, welcome. Jim Dean, I'd like to start with you. We need to talk about this more because it's important. We have new information to have come to light about the evacuation and the destructive role that terrorists have played. And it appears that the world is at this point awakening to the reality of what's going on in eastern Aleppo and the wider Syrian war, not this fake news that the Western media is portraying, because the liberation of eastern Aleppo has proven that claims about alleged atrocities committed by the Syrian army, well, they were just fake. Lots of news has come out that way, and of course Russia has attested to that.
Absolutely. And this week we saw a complete turnaround. We had asked the Russians that they had to get much, much more aggressive on debunking the fake news, because although they were going to win Aleppo militarily, the West was still going to continue attacking them. And the terrorist media, and I'm not hyping with that term, the media was totally on board trying to lay the carnage that the jihadis have done on eastern Aleppo on the Syrian army, which to me was a war crime in itself. So the people of Aleppo are really now only half free, because they've got the jihadis out of there and they've got the Syrian army in to provide security. But they will never be free until they've totally destroyed the narrative that the Western countries, the UN, unfortunately, and Western media has imposed on the world as the reality of what went on in Aleppo. And now is the time, if I were the people in Aleppo, you mentioned that the withdrawals and evacuations would probably be over. They need to semi-kidnap those UN monitors when they come and take them around and show them the reality of everything that the jihadis did, and that the Western media supported them all the way, the Gulf states, The UN was basically supporting them, and they all conspired to make these people suffer, and they need to let them know that they're not happy about it. And the UN needs to be right on at the top of the list.
We'll find out if that happens. Ian Williams, this will probably be the last question I'm going to ask about this.
Okay, you can stop that, Mike. So, as you can see, the news you never get from the antique MSM is about what's really going on in Aleppo, and we continuously report ad nauseum about this and about the Syrian moderates. Well, the reason that I bring up the Syrian moderates and the deal that's going on with Aleppo, you can check the U.S. State Department, they didn't seem too pleased that Russia had actually brokered a peace deal with Turkey without the United States of America's help. So the U.S. State Department didn't seem too thrilled about that. And what happened today is something that was a provocation, in my opinion, to invoke war. Today, Russia's ambassador to Turkey was assassinated in Ankara. Russian ambassador Andrei Karlov, there was a gunman, and he was shouting, "Do not forget Aleppo." He assassinated the Russian ambassador to Turkey at an Ankara art gallery. And I want to make sure that you understand that this man was speaking of the opposition in Syria. He is speaking about the quote-unquote moderates, the rebels. The terrorist is the one that he was on the side of. And he caught on live video as well. The assassination comes at a time of improved relations and increased cooperation between Russia and Turkey. The leaders of both countries vowed not to let the assassination cast a shadow over that friendship. And it also comes during a pivotal moment in Syria where Russia has been instrumental in President Bashar al-Assad's push to retake the rebel-held parts of Syria, which, of course, is Aleppo, in which we were exposing just a few moments ago. Vladimir Putin said that the assassination of the Russian ambassador in Turkey is a ploy to wreck the Syrian peace process, and he is very likely right. President Vladimir Putin said today that the killing of Russia's ambassador to Turkey was a despicable provocation aimed at spoiling Russia and Turkey ties and derailing Moscow's attempts to find with Iran and Turkey a solution for the Syria crisis. So those comments, Putin speaking at a special meeting in the Kremlin, ordered security at Russian embassies around the world to be stepped up and said that he wanted to know who had directed the gunman's hand. He heaped praise on the murdered Russian ambassador, Andrei Karlov, who was shot in the back and killed as he gave a speech at an Ankara art gallery, and made clear that Moscow's response to his assassination would be robust. A crime has been committed, and it is without a doubt a provocation aimed at spoiling the normalization of Russia-Turkish relations and spoiling the Syrian peace process, which is being actively pushed by Russia, Turkey, Iran, and others, and stern-faced Putin. There can only be one response: stepping up the fight against terrorism. The bandits will feel this happening. So in that news, thank God, President Putin understands and knows really what is behind all that is going on. I am thankful that he is not falling for the trap that is possibly set before him. And these people who are arming, funding, and training these individuals, moderates, and going along with this, and I don't care if they are within the United States of America or without the United States of America, but here at home, they need to be held accountable. All the politicians and every one of them that have armed, funded, supported, and helped with training of these terrorists They are our enemy. It is known they are our enemy, and that is considered treason within the United States of America. And I fully believe, please remember, that right now the globalist elite, they are in full panic mode. Syria is refusing to go along with the globalist elite. Russia is refusing to bend to the globalist elite and their new world order. These are holdouts, and this is their last-ditch effort between that and the coup that they were trying to do with the Electoral College and all of the stuff going on in here in the United States of America. They are trying their best to either, A, start a civil war, or B, in my opinion, start World War III before Trump gets into office. Would you gentlemen agree or disagree with that statement? Eric, are you there?
One more time, Lori.
Would Eric and Keith either agree or disagree with the statement I just made?
I have to confess, I was running down to get my international contract law book, and I missed the statement. So I'm going to let Keith comment first, and if you can repeat it, I will make my response.
Okay.
I was just going to make a couple of comments otherwise on top of what you said, from what I've been able to do research on. A, number one, the gentleman who shot him was reciting the Quran of praising Allah when he shot him. And I can believe that because Turkey is 98% Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The other thing is, they were also in support of the Syrian rebels, if you remember.
Right.
They're also inside of Syria illegally.
Right. The other thing I'm going to mention, though, is a couple articles I've read also now has sat down and said global elite has sat down and said, well, we took out your lead, one of your lead people, now what are you going to do?
Right.
Whereas they're trying to bait Russia to see what they're going to do for the next move.
Right, and I am thankful, in my opinion, I am
at home, they always take their people to war because they know that people will put their questioning of the globalists and their questioning of their corrupt government, even at the local basis, they'll put all that aside if there can be enough fervor from flag waving, usually stimulated by some kind of either, it's usually in a, this just reeks of the CIA. Because they specialize in assassinating foreign leaders to stir international conflict. And with, I'll never forget listening to Federal News Radio, AM 1500, hearing this chief financial officer of Lockheed Martin say that Lockheed Martin alone, this is one corporation that supplies military, supplies the military industrial complex. They get, $17 billion a month. That's 17,000 duffel bags with $1 million in each every 4 weeks. Now imagine what the lengths that people will go to keep that amount of money flowing. And I think the possibilities are endless. And right at the top of the list of all possibilities and probabilities are CIA assassinations. Usually, they like to find somebody who can pass off as a lone gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald. A single useful idiot, but it's usually they're part of a group,
he was also a police officer, so they can't pass that off. But on top of that, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, Dave Hodges from the Common Sense Show, he had also reported about 4,000 U.S. troops being sent to the border of Russia, and more are supposed to be sent. So this is showing they are trying everything within their power to instigate, incite, and trying to create World War III before Obama leaves office. Mm-hmm. And I really hope and pray that our military remembers UCMJ. I hope and pray that they do not fall for this entrapment to pull us into a war, because, of course, surprise, it's under NATO, you know, to send combat-ready battalions near the Russian border, you know. And
I love the United States military somehow got absorbed by NATO, and now they don't even list the names of the American troops when they're killed or injured. They just say NATO troops, and all of a sudden it's a faceless person, and people assume, oh, it must be someone from France or Italy.
You know, exactly, and that is so disgusting to me. So, on that note, another historical day, we had some really, really, let me tell you, this is the way I look at what I'm getting ready to say. The electors during this election, literally, I see as heroes. I'll tell you why. Because they received so much crud during the time of unrest, death threats, emails, letters, protests at their homes, you name it, these electors went through it this election cycle. They had billionaires, George Soros, and others, newborn.org, and all sorts of organizations completely fighting against them, pushing out propaganda from mainstream media, putting the heat on these individuals to try to do their darndest to do an electoral coup. So, with that being said, not only did they hold to what they were supposed to do, which was follow the voice of the people in their areas and what the people in their areas voted for. There was a couple that did not, but other than that, they stood firm and they did their duty, and they very well could have not only made sure and stopped possibly World War III, but possibly civil war as well. And I want to say to those electors, I'm proud of you for doing what you knew that you were supposed to do and you had promised to do, and not gone against the people that elected you in that area to follow their will. So with that being said, yes, it is now official. Trump won the White House. If you could, Mike, please play LV2.
The meeting of the 2016 presidential electors is now convened. The Secretary of State, the Honorable Jesse White, proclaims this day, the 19th day of December of the year 2016, as a day fixed for convening the electors of this state to cast votes for President and Vice President of the United States.
At this point, how many possible what they call faithless electors are there who might jump ship?
Look, we expect everything to fall in line. We're very confident that everything is going to be very smooth tomorrow.
And everything did fall in line. There really wasn't any doubt that it would, but Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States. The electors have voted. Texas put him over the top. The 270 needed. There were only a couple of instances where faithless electors voted otherwise. This is the statement from the president-elect. Today marks a historic electoral landslide victory in our nation's democracy. I thank the American people for their overwhelming vote to elect me as their next president of the United States. The official votes cast by the Electoral College exceeded the 270 required to secure the presidency by a very large margin, far greater than ever anticipated by the media. This election represents a movement that millions of hardworking men and women all across the country stood behind and made possible. With this historic step, we can look forward to the bright future ahead. Mercedes, what about all this?
All I can say is that I think my children will be able to see the Electoral College process in action, because normally it's just a ceremonial event, and this has become the most highly dramatic Electoral college system that we've seen in our lifetime. So, you know, again, you've seen the protesters go out. Michael Moore wanted to pay Republican electors a fine, their fine, if they were to vote against Trump. But at the end of the day, we've seen the process work out. This is about voting in America's president, not California's president. This is why we don't have a popular vote system.
Right.
So, with that being said, I don't know if you all know who Diamond and Silk are, but I think that they say it best. If you could, Mike, play LV3.
Hey, y'all. Hey. Okay, I have a message to all of these protesters. Mm-hmm. The little snowflakes are so teary-eyed and so fragile that they don't know how to accept the outcome of this election.
Uh-huh.
Either you can get on the Trump train or get the hell out of the way.
That's right.
And if you don't get out of the way, your ass is going to get ran over.
Uh-huh.
The people have decided.
Yes.
The people have spoken.
That's right.
Baby. And Donald J. Trump is the 45th president of the United States.
Yes.
And for those of you all that don't like it,
that's right,
you can build a bridge and get over it.
Isn't that great? Okay, Mike, you can stop that clip. I thought that that was really hilarious and pretty much short, sweet, and very much to the point. Some notable information, though, about the Electoral College vote that sealed Trump's White House victory, and believe this or not, this is coming out of NBC News. It stated the president-elect easily racked up the 270 electoral votes needed to send him to the White House. Interest in the normally mundane voting process spiked this year as opposition to Trump continues to fester, fueled by Clinton's success in capturing over 2.6 more million votes than her Republican opponent. Now, they're talking about in a very small area, however, and they're not counting for the unlawful vote. But the neat thing that was noted in this article on NBC News, it says that some of the electors did break with how their state voted, albeit it was in an unexpected way. In Washington, a state Clinton won by 16 points. The former Secretary of State received just 8 of the state's 12 electoral votes. So they went against Hillary when it came to switching their vote, although I'm going to tell you, I don't agree with that either. They should have voted in the manner that the people voted. And with that, and on that note, we'll be back right after a word from our network sponsors.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting 2 people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.